My message this morning is entitled Young Before His Time, and hopefully within 10 minutes that'll make a lot more sense than it does just as a title. Young, as used in today's sermon title, is in reference to Carl Jung. Many of you might be familiar with his writings and his legacy of Carl Jung. He was a very important figure in the foundation of psychology. And in religious circles, Jung is typically regarded even more highly than Sigmund Freud, because while Freud took a pessimistic view of religious experience, Jung thought that all forms of religious experience and spirituality really helped us on a path towards psychological well-being. Recently, we've even seen studies that support this with facts as small as things like that religious people typically are found to live longer and healthier lives. He was really actually quite prolific. Jung's body of work covers concepts as varying as archetypal images, the collective unconsciousness, dream analysis, and even put some ideas about the significance of UFO sightings out there as well. But the bigger question would be, why is he in a message about King David? Well, because of one of his most interesting insights into psychology. It has an impact both on the story that we just heard me read, and I think on how we apply it to our own lives. The insight is this. Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. Let me read that again. Everything that irritates us about others can lead to an understanding about ourselves. So now hold on to that, because it's going to become very important as we look at these scriptures here today. So in our scriptures, we have the story of a king and of a prophet. And just about every king seems to have had a prophet to help keep him sort of honest. Saul had Samuel, Ahab had Elijah, Hezekiah had Isaiah, Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. That one always makes me stumble. They seem to have shared Jeremiah, and so on and so on. And King David ultimately has Nathan. Now, being a prophet is tough. Prophets are called to speak the truth, and sometimes that is just not very popular. It's not only difficult to speak prophetic words, but it can be downright dangerous. I'm not kidding. I don't consider myself a prophet. I've literally had a death threat from saying things people don't like. Being a prophet can be that much more dangerous. David is a king. He has this whole army at his disposal. Nathan is a prophet. He has no army. David is powerful. His generals will carry out all of his orders. And Nathan has no generals at his disposal. David has a sword, and Nathan has no weapon other than the spoken word. If David had desired, he could have ended Nathan in a heartbeat. It's dangerous being a prophet. It's even more dangerous to be the prophet to a king. When Nathan speaks as a prophet to David, he does so at great risk to himself. But he's a prophet. His task is to speak what he understands to be God's truth. The personal consequences are not supposed to be weighed, which is the problem. You see, kings are used to getting what they want. And what they want tends to be less of what is good for the kingdom and more of what is good for the king. David desires Bathsheba, and he gets what he wants. Bathsheba has no say. David successfully got rid of her husband, Uriah the Hittite, by signing him to frontline duty, where he was taken down by the enemy. David proceeded then to marry Uriah's beautiful young widow, Bathsheba. And now, as the honeymoon is just barely over, when Nathan comes around to describe a hardship case he thought that David might want to do something about, it becomes a little bit difficult. What's really going on is that Nathan must give to David a difficult word of truth. if Nathan doesn't, there isn't anyone else who's going to. So David has acted treacherously, dishonestly, selfishly. He believes that because he's king, he's entitled to what's off limits to other people. And it's Nathan's task to show him otherwise. His task is to remind the king that by God's rule, those who are to administer justice are not permitted to be unjust in doing so. As ruler, he's supposed to execute the law, not trample on the law. So, Nathan tells this heart-wrenching story about two men, one with more than enough and one with very little. And while the rich man has flocks and herds in abundance, the poor man only has one lamb, not only to provide milk and sustenance, but apparently for even companionship. And the rich man needs to entertain a traveler, but he's too stingy to take from his own flock. So he steals the poor man's one beloved lamb and slaughters it to feed his guests. Hearing this, David is justifiably angry, and he is ready to exact justice on the wealthy man who has behaved in such an evil manner. As the text says, then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb sevenfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Nathan was tasked with the difficult chore of confronting the king. He had to accuse the king of not doing what it is that God expects of kings. And David could have taken Nathan's head off with merely a nod of his own head. Nathan was in a difficult position. Fortunately, Nathan seems to have understood young long before there was an actual young. Now, hence the title of the sermon here. He understood that it is true that everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding about ourselves. He understood this reality about humanity, and he uses it to allow David to ultimately confront himself. He tells the story of these two men, how one of them took everything that was the most valuable to the other one, who had almost nothing. And then he waits. He waits for the reality that everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding about ourselves to kick in. And when it does, David hits the roof. He says anybody who'd pull a stunt like that ought to be taken out and killed. At the very least, he ought to be made to give back seven times over what the lamb is worth. And who was this greedy, thriving slob anyway? The king wanted to know. And then Nathan said to David, look in the mirror. The man is you. The king's court must have fallen silent. Now, my question for us today isn't about being prophetic followers of Jesus. My question isn't even about justice and treating others fairly with respect, at least not directly. My question for us today is this. How often are we David? Jung would tell us that it happens a lot. Every time we find ourselves being irritated by someone else, Jung tells us that we are irritated by them because looking at them is like looking in a mirror. The thing that irritates us about them are the things that irritate us about us. Now, there's a depth of lessons to be learned from this wonderful story, but one of the ones which is most overlooked is the one that Jung tried to reteach us. And if you take it seriously, it will change everything about how you relate to other people. When you start realizing that each irritation is an opportunity to turn inward and to do some tough personal work rather than turn outward and attack the other person in some way, when we manage to do that, when we manage to do that, that we're not only getting along more with people more frequently, But we're also improving ourselves. And as we improve ourselves, we also find that we're getting irritated with other people less frequently. And when we aren't as irritated with other people, we become happier people. And when we become happier people, it's easier to be more loving towards others. And when we're more loving towards others, we create a better world. Turns out that this young fellow just wasn't teaching us how to make ourselves better. He was teaching us how to make the world better. It's a lesson that Nathan taught to David. More importantly, it's a lesson Jesus encouraged us to follow, telling us to stop bothering with the speck in our neighbor's eye when we have a log in our own, to let the one without sin throw the first stone, telling us to take care of making ourselves better, because if we do that, it takes care of a whole lot of what is wrong with the world. Everything that irritates us about others can lead to an understanding about ourselves. The next time you feel that frustration about someone else rising up within you, take a moment. Take a breath. Think about what it's saying about you, not about them. Then begin to make yourself and ultimately the world a better, more loving place.